In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Rodo Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, Scott Angle, Corey Parson here with us today on the program, as they are, well, each and every day. Now, guys, I said before the break we want to talk more about LeGarrette Blount and his current value. Corey, where do you have him ranked? That's three times today.
Yeah, I'm a little bit off. Like, I got a lot of stuff going on, Greg. I'm doing the best I can. LeGarrette Blount in round... Say that again. Where you want him at?
I wonder where you have him ranked.
Where do I have him ranked?
If this is Scott, we would tell you, I do not have your rankings open, so I'm going to say the same thing.
No, my rankings are open. My rankings are right here.
I don't want to think I'm just calling you out, Scott.
Yeah.
I got LeGarrette Blount ranked 27th in the PPR.
27th in the PPR.
Yeah.
So you were very comfortable with him as a high-end RB3.
Yeah, no doubt.
No
I'll
problem.
Take LeGarrette Blount.
I have 27 too.
How about that, Greg? Yeah. Smart guys. Yeah. Nothing. Everybody wouldn't agree. I have LeGarrette Blount ranked 27. Shout out to Kennedy. Today is Kennedy's birthday.
Happy birthday, Kennedy.
Happy birthday. Seven years old, you know what I'm saying?
Racist.
With Sean and Kennedy in the same week. How about that?
We talk about this every year, then we forget every year.
Yeah, it does.
I got LeGarrette Blount, and I'm willing to take Blount as an RB3, RB4, as a guy I can pop in there, use, you know, as the course of bye weeks and stuff like that, or if I get injuries, I'm satisfied. LeGarrette Blount, like I told you yesterday, play 16 games and score 10 touchdowns is all I want from Rue. You don't even have to run for 200 yards on the season.
Okay, fair enough. So you have him as an RB3. Scott, what do you have him ranked?
I have him 33rd.
Okay, six spots lower. Okay.
Good job, Scott.
Matt?
37th.
So you're the low guy.
You're the low guy here on LeGarrette Blount. Ultimately, you just think look slower, not the same offense.
I just think that he's leaving one of the best offenses, one of the best situations, one of the best atmospheres. Everything, he's going from a Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame quarterback, second year quarterback. Is he going to get the goal line carries? Yes. Is it going to be? Everybody seems to think it's 9 this year. I'm not so sure about that, but we'll see. He's not a guy that I'm high on this year.
The Green Bay Packers had Ty Montgomery out yesterday with an injury. Doesn't seem serious from what I can see. It was a lower leg injury, which means it could be an ankle sprain. It could be nothing. It could be, you know, give him a day off. But nevertheless,
it could be a torn ACL.
That as well. Jamal Williams was given first team reps on target yesterday. Jake was going off about the possibility, of course, of Jamal Williams, who he has in his top 24. Getting the opportunity here in Green Bay with the first team. Given that it is August 16th, let's see where the guys are currently on Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams and how that has changed since the beginning of the summer. Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams coming up next, and then Shark Tank around the corner. This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Guys, Ty Montgomery, as I mentioned, needs the lower leg injury. We heard Jake's opinion on it if you watched on Target. If not, you can listen to it on demand on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app or on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, wherever you listen to us, iHeart, TuneIn, of course, as well. Also, make sure you purchase the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's available right now from rotoexperts.com. Use Sussmania when you check out rotoexperts.com/bigdeal so you can read the musings of my BFFs, Frank Stanfill, and Michael Florio.
Might as well be Frank Florio.
No, they're different dudes. They're different dudes with different opinions, as I learn every day. Guys, as I said, Ty Montgomery, lower leg injury. Jamal Williams gets first team reps yesterday. Scott, how has the value of these two guys changed since the beginning of the summer where you started with your rankings? Which is the middle of the summer.
It really hasn't changed too much, but I think I think, you know, the more we hear about this, the more we have to change. I mean, like, right now, it's like before this news, I have Montgomery ranked at 19th. You know, the opportunity is there. He's the first guy on the depth chart. I have Jamal Williams at 49. I'm gonna have to bump him up significantly. You know, you have to look at this. Like, Montgomery did fumble in the first preseason game. We did talk about it. But, you know, Ty Montgomery has never played running back in the NFL over a full season. He's still new to the position.
And so he's trying to
hold
learn
on,
that.
Let me finish,
sorry,
please.
Sorry, Scott.
Then you'll have your say. That's how it's supposed to work.
It's like you follow that.
What?
Continue, please.
You're interrupting me now, too, so you're not following it either. So Jamal Williams is a guy that, like, very, very talented. He jumps off the film at you, and you know, great vision, runs well in short space, etc. This could be a timeshare of sorts. I think they can't keep Jamal Williams out of the mix because I think he's just too promising. And I think, you know, that could cut into Montgomery. And you have to remember that this team is not going to put the running game first and foremost no matter what.
That's the point. That's the key point.
So here's the thing where you're looking at two running backs that might share time on a team that doesn't pass the ball first.
It's going to run the ball first.
It's going to make both of them very risky. You know, Ty Montgomery doesn't have an established history as a running back.
All right, so here we go. It's like this. Why even go to Green Bay for running back production? You know what they say when Eddie Lacy first got to, people were drafting Eddie Lacy high. He's connected to Aaron Rodgers' offense.
Number one overall.
Yeah. I mean, your man said that. He's connected to Aaron Rodgers' offense, so he's going to have an opportunity to get a whole bunch of touchdown runs. It never happened. They don't run the football. They don't care about running the football. Any of these guys you're putting on your team, Ty Montgomery, they're going to have value, whatever. But I'm not saying that I won't draft Montgomery or Williams, but I'm not expecting much from either player. Tip of your expectations when it comes to these guys, because the Green Bay Packers do not commit to running the football. You want some Packers on your fantasy team? Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, even Randall Cobb. You feel what I'm saying? Martellus Bennett. Stick to the passing game in Green Bay. These running backs, if you think you're going to win with them week in and week out, you got mistaken, Jack. That's a mistake.
One more thing.
That's a mistake.
I just want to say.
That's a mistake.
Just want to say. He's starting to rap. He wrote away or not. But one more thing, though, is that Montgomery, we've seen that he can catch passes, so he will be involved in the flow
this
from that perspective, maybe more over Jamal Williams. But this is going to be very, very tough to predict on a week-to-week basis, I think.
Matt Modica, Ty Montgomery or Bilal Powell?
Right now, I have Montgomery ahead of him. He's the player that I will continue to watch. I don't know if his injury is severe, so I don't think it is. And week three, the dress rehearsal will be very telling. I do think they want Montgomery to be their back. I think they like the scheme, the way things set up, the schemes they can do. It sets that offense up very well. And he can catch the ball as well. He's a good pass catcher. Guy was a receiver. I think people... The statement I don't like hearing from people, and I think it's real lazy, is, oh, he's not built like a running back.
Sure.
That's nonsense. Look at the size of him.
Did Scott just say that?
No, I didn't. I said he doesn't have the experience at the position.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, look at the size of him and Jamal Williams. I just think it all depends on Mike McCarthy. If he wants to run that offense a certain way, he sets up mismatches. I think ultimately... that's the way they're going to go, at least to start it off. Can Montgomery deliver? I think he possibly can. So he's still a top. There's only a few spots I have him and Powell, but right now I'm going to go with the high-powered offense. You can do the contrarian argument and say, well, somebody on the Jets has got to deliver, and it should be Powell, but I'm going to go Montgomery.
Yeah, I agree with you in terms of he's not built like a running back, 6'2", 216. You know, we were just talking about the kid Chris Carson, 6'2", 218. It's like, you know, I give you so many other listings, you know, across the board. But I would probably go Powell because, you know, he's the clear guy there. He's, you know, that it's, you know, I don't have him far apart, but to me, he's the clear guy there.
I have Montgomery ahead of Powell, and I'm wondering, and then the more I look at my rankings, the more I feel really confident with 13 guys. Now, I'm not saying 13 RB1s, but I feel really confident about 13 running backs. And then after that, I really start to question things. I was very comfortable with Ty Montgomery. I'm thinking maybe I was a little too comfortable. I think I might want to move Bilal Powell ahead of him. I think Carlos Hyde's kind of in this mix too.
Speaking of Carlos Hyde, I moved him ahead of Montgomery.
I think I should do that too.
I know you've been very high on Montgomery.
I'm higher on Hyde. You know that.
I'm sorry. You've been very high on Hyde. Mm-hmm. I've been saying about Hyde. I think he's going to be one of the best draft day values. Starting to move on up. He's not that. I was getting him middle of the sixth, seventh round. Now it's fifth round. Sometimes he's going in the fourth round. So as you hear the positive news, that propaganda nonsense that's being filtered out in San Francisco, you have to like that situation. I mean, I know it's a bad offense, but
I love the situation.
Here's the thing: when you talk about it's a bad offense, like I'm probably the low guy on Hyde on the table. But the one thing,
where is he? Where do you have him?
I'm 25.
20. Where do you have him at?
I have him. I moved him to 16.
One thing about that is, in a bad team, it's like what schematically. When you're the 49ers, you want to keep the other offense off the field. So you're going to give it to your running back to try to control the clock and also take the pressure off of Brian Hoyer. So that is a positive in his direction.
No, I agree, Scott. That's a good point. I just wanted to say that because I said about Powell being in a bad offense, so I didn't want to not say
that. Let me ask you this. Carlos Hyde or Joe Mixon?
I'm going Joe Mixon right now.
I don't even have them close to each other. It's Mixon.
Well, I know you don't. Corey?
Joe Mixon.
I mean, for me right now with the Fournette foot ankle issue, that's scaring me off. The Gurley thing, I want to go in on it, but I'm still hesitant. So after that top nine, for me it's like Cook, Mixon, McCaffrey, Crowell. Those are the guys I'd rather have right now. It could change if I see Fournette's healthy and he's out there. I do like Fournette as well, but if you had the foot and ankle injuries last year in college and you have them now, that's not a good sign.
Matt, Ty Montgomery or Mark Ingram?
I got Montgomery like just a couple spots ahead as well. I'm going on the basis that he's going to win the job and he's going to get the opportunity. Can he hold it? That's the question, but I do think he's going to get the opportunity.
Same question, Scotty.
I have Montgomery two spots ahead of Ingram because I feel like when those two teams get near the goal line stripe, I feel like Montgomery's still going to be that guy, probably that number one guy. Whereas, like, although I feel Mark Ingram is going to be the number one running back, I think Peterson could have a role as the goal line runner and be a threat there.
Yeah, I think that one's close to me. That one's close for me. I have to move Mark Ingram up now as well into this other tier because I'm feeling more confident on him. Corey, where are you on Mark Ingram versus Ty Montgomery?
I will take Ty. Ty Montgomery has a slight nod in my rankings over Mark Ingram. But Ingram is a player that I'm in on this year. I got him rock solid as an RB2. No worry about that. But I got both of them as running back twos. I just would prefer. You know what? It's a diversification thing. Okay. If I got Ingram one place, I'll take Montgomery the next. If I got, you know, just like that.
It is that close for you.
It's that close for me. Those two players are up in the air.
I'm kind of just going down my rankings and seeing names that pop out. We've heard a lot about Robert Kelly and Sam Perine. Sam Perine really is really struggling here in pass protection and holding on to the football. And you're not going to play in the NFL if you can't do those two things. Well, Rob Kelly clearly is the starter. I know, Scott, you have been Mr. Sam Perine here, taking him way before Rob Kelly, at least in the past. I'm not saying now. You may have changed your rankings.
I did.
You did? Yeah. Okay. So would you rather have Rob Kelly or would you rather have Kareem Hunt?
I'd rather have Kareem Hunt.
Okay.
Spencer Ware had one good preseason game with a touchdown run, and, you know, everybody's starting to, like, drop Hunt. He went much lower in the flex than I thought he would. I almost had a shot to grab him, and I was going to take it. I still think Kareem Hunt turns out to be the number one guy here, and he's very talented.
And what about Rob Kelly?
Rob Kelly, I got him a few spots behind, about five spots behind.
Okay, I have him back in my rank. That's why I asked. When we come back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, let's get in the tank. Let's play a little Shark Tank next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's that time of the morning. We haven't done it in a while. People are stealing our games. So we wanted to bring it back ourselves to make to stake our claim. A lot of fake news going around these days. All right. With that being said, Don Burns, hit me with the music. Because it's time to get in the tank. It's time for Shark Tank, ladies and gentlemen. So today, inside the tank, you will be presenting to the investors to try and sell a player that scored less, had five or less receiving touchdowns in 2016, that you expect to get double-digit touchdowns in 2017. That is doubling the amount of touchdowns. A guy that you expect to break out here in 2017. We'll see what the value says. Matt Mojica, you, sir, are up first. It's at the tank.
I'm going to, gentlemen, I'm going to present you with a guy out west. A guy that has played in the offense that he is going to this year prior. Actually, was a league leader in receptions in this offense once upon a time a couple of years back. It's not a offensive juggernaut of a team, but the passing offense will run through him. His quarterback is not a Hall of Famer. He's not a pretty boy quarterback, but he's a guy that gets the job done. Bit of a journeyman, but wherever he's been good enough to deliver fantasy goods. And the man's name is Pierre Garçon, San Francisco 49ers. He's a guy that has consistently had a catch percentage of 65% or greater, or right around that area. Last season, almost 70%. There's really nobody else there. I think he's primed for a fantastic season out there. Maybe somebody that's not getting enough pub right now, but somebody that should definitely be on your radar. Somebody that I think, you know, if he's your third wide receiver, that's good. If he's your fourth flex, that's awesome. So, can I interest anyone in Pierre Garçon?
All right, investors, you've heard the pitch, Pierre Garçon. Scott Engel, do you have any questions for Matt Mojica?
Mr. Mojica, with your Wall Street background, I knew you would do a good sales pitch. I think a lot of people at this table have expertly pointed out the merits of Mr. Garçon. As a PPR receiver, in 2013 with the Redskins, he led the league in catches despite not having much around him in an unstable quarterback situation. 113 catches, 1346 yards. But the one thing is this exercise is built around touchdowns and guys that can score double-figure touchdowns. Even in that season, Garçon only caught five touchdown passes. He's never caught more than six. He only caught three. He's hit six three times. As much as I would buy into him if maybe this were a different exercise with the catches and with the yardage and the situation, why should I certainly believe that the touchdowns are going to go up?
I'm looking at how many passing touchdowns are they going to throw? Is it George Kittle's who's going to emerge in this offense? We've seen what Jeremy Curley can do. I mean, somebody's got to catch it. It's not everybody can grasp this offense. So it's pretty much Pierre Garçon is the driving force. He should get the looks in the red zone. Warrior's a guy that's not afraid to sling it. Like I said, he's not the best out there, but he's far from the worst. He's more than serviceable. I think maybe a little better than average. I think he gets knocked a little too much.
Mr. Rodrigo, listen, as my co-investors, my co-shark on this panel really pointed out, this exercise is designed for touchdowns. And Pierre Garçon has never had double-digit touchdowns in his career, ever. As with Peyton Manning, as with RG3, as with Kirk Cousins, never. At 31 years old, I don't know that he can get there with San Francisco. Now, listen, I know we pointed out earlier in the show that this is a team that's going to be down a lot. And you correctly pointed out Brian Hoyer is a quarterback that is serviceable, that can get the job done. But asking for 10 touchdowns from Yoger or something. That is a lot to ask for. I'm not saying he can't be a fantasy, a valuable wide receiver, because I think he can. I think he can help PBR, as my coach Sharon pointed out. But when it comes to touchdowns, asking for 10, four more than his career high in a single season, that is a lot.
It is definitely a lot, but I'm looking at how many touchdowns, how many passing touchdowns do you project the 49ers to score? So if you break that down, who's going to get them? I mean, Vance McDonald seems like he's on his way out.
Sure.
Kittle, unproven.
Mm-hmm.
Curley? I'm just not...
Goodwin.
Marquise Goodwin, your boy?
Goodwin will catch a couple of just deep ones. That's something he'll do. He
sure.
will, you know,
sure.
he'll beat the defense on time. He's got to hold on to the ball as well. He does have some issues with that.
So I'm gonna take a moment to think. Let me pass it on to Mr. Parson here.
Are we putting a dollar amount on this?
Yeah, it is. We haven't heard a dollar amount. The investor didn't bring a price tag with his player.
Oh, make me an offer.
Make me an offer.
I had to make you an offer for him. Now, what am I buying the player or am I buying the double digit touchdowns?
Well, you're buying a player. You're buying the fact that you'll get double digit touchdowns.
Okay, I'm buying the fact that Pierre Garçon is going to get double digit touchdowns. I think a lot of what the other investors have asked already, Mr. Madigo, are very excellent points. You know what I mean? The fact that even in his most prolific seasons, he hasn't caught double-digit touchdown passes. Then you bring up the fact that, you know, he is, like Greg said, he is an elder. He's getting to be an older wide receiver. But, you know, wide receiver can play well into their 30s, so that's not really an issue. He is the guy on the offense that's going to be the guy that's most likely looked at to get targets, move the sticks, move the chains. When it comes to catching the touchdowns, though, I don't know if he is going to be able to do that on a consistent basis. I think he can score 5 or 6 touchdowns. I don't think I can buy a 10-touchdown Pierre Garçon.
So for those reasons, are you out?
I am. I'm in on the player. I'm out on the 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think ultimately, Mr. Modica, when it comes down to the what you asked for, I think you came in here and you asked for too much. And when you ask for too much, we can't make an offer. And for that reason, I'm out as well.
Yeah, I'm out too. You know, if he was selling me the player in a different context,
sure,
I would make a different offer. But to expect 10 touchdowns, you know, I watched this guy even early in his career, even with Peyton Manning when he was more of a downfield threat. I just don't think he's a red zone guy, and I can't buy into the thing that just because there's nobody else that he's going to score 10 touchdowns, I'm out.
You look at the offense Kyle Shanahan ran last year with MVP Matt Ryan, All-Pro Julio Jones, and Devonta Freeman and all of those guys. They threw 38 touchdown passes in that offense last year. I don't think not one of the receivers had double digits.
That's an excellent point. Not even Julio got
double
digits.
All right, Mr. Madiga, I'm sorry you received no offers today.
Well, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Eric Cartman at the table.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Mr. Engel! You, sir, are up next.
Oh, Lord.
Inside the Tank.
I do want to say good morning to all of you. Mr. Parson, you are sharply dressed today.
Thank you, Scott.
Mr. Sussman.
Stop looking. Oh, no, let me not say that. Don't look down.
I did not bring my microscope with me today to the Shark Tank, so I won't have to worry about that.
Nor your Russell Wilson doll.
Mr. Modica, we won't be talking about a playoff team today, so you should feel comfortable. I will give Mr. Modica credit, though, for trying to take a challenge here, though, because I think that the selling point for me is much easier with Terrell Pryor, who only caught 4 touchdown passes last year, but still 77 catches for 1,007 yards. And this is from 7 different quarterbacks playing for the Cleveland Browns, including himself. But the Washington Redskins went out with a clear plan during the offseason of trying to improve themselves in the red zone. And they made 2 moves. The Samaje Perine one is not working out yet. But Terrell Pryor, they lose DeSean Jackson. They lose Garçon. He's 6'4", 228. One beat writer of the Browns actually said they are going to regret letting this guy go big time, because his arrow is pointing up. This guy, whether Jamison Crowder is, you know, equal or better than him or not, Jamison Crowder is not a red zone target. Mr. Modica has expertly pointed out the numbers. Terrell Pryor is the big target that Kirk Cousins has lacked in the red zone. He is tailor-made for this situation. Only 4 with the Browns, I say definitely gets at least 10 with the Redskins. His role is going to be much, much different. His quarterback is going to be much, much different. He was identified by this organization to be the red zone guy.
Mr. Modica, yeah, you hear Mr. Angle's pitch. Wonderful pitch for Terrell Pryor. So nice job there. You have any questions?
I mean, the only concern I have with this player as far as reaching the 10 touchdowns, because I'm pretty much in on him. I pretty much agree with everything that's been stated. I think 8 is a definite, 10 a real possibility. Only thing that I think could keep him maybe from the double digits is Jordan Reed having a full healthy season, which is asking a lot. Also, Josh Doctson having a full healthy season. So those are two major question marks. So I'm pretty much in. So you just sweeten the deal for me, Scotty.
How much are you asking for it, Mr. Engel?
I'm going to ask $5 for him.
He's not going for $5 in an auction.
Oh, he's talking about auction price. I'm going to ask $17 for him.
You're giving him away. I'm going to buy that.
Yeah, you know,
I'm buying him 17 too. I don't think he's going to score a double-digit touchdown, but I'll buy him 17.
He'll have some other offers on the table when we come back here on the Roto-Way Experts in the Morning. I have a couple questions. I'm sure Mr. Parson has a couple questions as well. We'll see. We can beat Mr. Modica's offer of $17 here for Terrell Pryor getting 10 touchdowns this year in 2017. Roto-Way Experts in the Morning. We continue on right after this. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. The King has presented Terrell Pryor here inside the Shark Tank. Let's hit the music again. Let's get back in the tank. Because, Scott, you have offered up Terrell Pryor for $17. You had an offer from Mr. Matt Modica. Corey, you have any questions for the King? Please turn your mic off for us.
This is ridiculous. I don't know what's going on. I got a lot of stuff going on. I'm doing the best I can.
It's all right.
Scott. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah.
Scott, I'll buy him for $17, right? But the thing with
would
the
you offer wait, 17 so you can get him over Mr. Mordecai?
Yeah, I go up. I know Greg is going to want to pay for him too, so I don't know. I'll save my price.
More. Yeah,
I don't want to. Jordan Reed's in this offense too. You feel what I'm saying? We know Crowder's going to get his work. This is Terrell Pryor's first year in the system. 20. Now let me ask you this: the number one cornerbacks on most teams are going to more than likely guard Terrell Pryor. If I'm not mistaken, this is a dude like that bum Janoris Jenkins, Chris Harris Jr. on the DC schedule this year. Some of the other top corners, I guess the same 9 top corners Dez Bryant's going to be facing. Terrell Pryor's going to be facing those same guys. He's not going to sneak up on anybody this year. I'll buy 10 touchdown Terrell Pryor for $24.
And to your point, though, like I said, and it's more pronounced with Dez Bryant than with Terrell Pryor, but I don't think the cornerbacks always win those.
I agree.
And
I agree.
When you get in the red zone, you may not have the cornerback may not be able to cover you one-on-one, especially when you're 6'4", 228.
Now, Matt Modica said his high here, he's going to spend $17 and no more, so he has stepped out. For me, 10 touchdowns for this guy, again, I understand the reasoning. It's a lot. I think you're asking for a lot here, Mr. Engel. I think you come in here, it's a brand new offense for him. Yes, in his first true year as a wide receiver, he performed incredibly well in his hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. His home state, Youngstown boy. Now, going over to Washington, he is no longer sneaking up on people, as you like to say. He is the man with the number one target on his back. I get that you love him as a wide receiver. One, I get that he will take him very, very early. I think 10 touchdowns is a lot to ask for. However, I can see where you're going from. And I like that you started at $17 when Matt started way too high on his price. Way too high. So I will top Mr. Parson's offer of $24. I'll go with $26. See if Mr. Parson has a counter.
Sussman can have the $26 Terrell Pryor.
Doing business with
Mr.
Sussman. Yes, we have a deal.
Fantastic. I look forward to I look forward to having Terrell Pryor on my team moving forward. I think $26, I got a good deal on him. What would you pay for him in an auction, Scott, for reals?
I would probably go $25 for him.
$25. Yeah. So I wouldn't even over that. I'm not even that guy.
You wouldn't get him for $25.
What's that?
He's not. He's a player that people are paying up for. I agree. He's a $35 player, which I don't think. Which I think is ridiculous, in my opinion.
I would have paid up to 30.
I think I might have gone to 30.
I would have paid up to 30 for Terrell Pryor. So to get him, at
I think I could spend $30 better in an auction than Terrell Pryor.
Well, maybe that's what we'll find out next. Well, as you enter the Shark Tank.
80 catches. 1,100
yards,
10 touchdowns.
You just sold him.
All right, here we go. Fantasy executive in the Shark Tank. Good morning, Mr. Engel. How are you?
Doing good.
Shake my hand.
Good
to meet you.
Good. I think we've met before.
Yes. Greg Sussman, how are you doing? Corey Paulson, fantasy executive. Good to meet you. I got a young man with me. Football runs through his vein. Football runs through his veins. Football runs in his blood. That's what he's done this his whole life, is just play football. Big, solid, talented wide receiver. 23 years old. Got an excellent quarterback. Plenty of weapons out there and an up-and-coming dynamic offense. Now, there may be a hindrance with a receiver on the opposite side of him who is known for being a dynamic red zone target. But let me tell you something about this kid that I got, Amari Cooper. He's a better football player, pound for pound, than is one Mr. Michael Crabtree. We love Michael Crabtree. We think he gets his numbers also. But this is the year, this is the season that Amari Cooper takes the next step and becomes an elite, dominant wide receiver one in the NFL. This young man hits all the measurables. He hits all the check marks. What is there not to like about this guy that lives and breathes football? You know what his quarterback has been saying about him in training camp and in OTAs and throughout this process? He looks like a beast this year. He's going up and getting it. He is playing with an extra gear. He's got that dog in him. That is a comment from his quarterback, Derek Carr, who's getting ready, more than likely, to contend for the NFL MVP this season. These two young men, for years to come, going to be great. Dynasty leaguers, you got to love it. But this season right here, Amari Cooper from Miami Northwestern High School and the University of Alabama will score double-digit receiving touchdowns for Amari Cooper. Buy him now at the price of $35. And next season, this is a guy that's going to be a first-round fantasy football wide receiver. Amari Cooper, $35, double-digit touchdowns. Get in on it. Who would like to take pace in this bargain?
Okay.
Mr. Engel?
I have some questions to ask you here, Mr. Parson. First off, Amari Cooper scored once in his final seven games last year.
Yeah, so
doubling his touchdowns, I think, is a lot to ask. Second off,
can I explain the one touchdown in seven games last year? The rapport with Crabtree was there. My client was going through some personal things. So it's football.
Well, he's a professional.
He was 22 years old last year.
All right, let me ask my question, though. You said your piece. Okay? Also, you have been on record that you're very big on Marshawn Lynch this year, right?
Yes.
Especially scoring touchdowns, right?
Yes.
So you also have Lynch there, who may score a lot of touchdowns. You already have Crabtree, who's an established red zone threat and already has that chemistry with Derek Carr. And it's very hard for me to buy 10 touchdowns. Now, I agree with you. I think the kid's going to improve this year. I could catch maybe another 2 to 3 touchdown passes. But I think if you believe that Lynch is a big part of the red zone mix and Crabtree's already established there, I think it's very hard for me to buy 10 touchdowns.
Let me counter by saying this, Mr. Engel. I'll put it like this. Last season, the Oakland Raiders scored 47 touchdowns. Oakland Raiders is a team that we like. Their team is going to be ranked high in the power ratings. Their team that has a dynamic young offense, a great offensive line, an up-and-coming quarterback that's going to be an MVP conversation this year. This is the AFC team that's going to take down the New England Patriots this year. They scored 47 touchdowns last season. They're probably scoring the mid-50s in touchdowns this season. 29 of those touchdowns last year came via the air. Why can't we get 10 from Mr. Cooper, 9 from Mrs. Crabtree, Marshawn Lynch can pop in his 12 on the ground. Last season, the Oakland Raiders scored 17 touchdowns in the running game. It's enough touchdowns to go around. This is one of the best offenses in the NFL. This kid, Amari Cooper, the time is now. Get behind me. Tweet me at the Fantasy Executive. We love Amari. We love Amari. We love Amari.
Stoudemire.
No, not Stoudemire.
But okay, just one more point. Wait. If the touchdown's probably going to be the same because you switch Murray for Lynch in terms of the touchdowns.
The team will be better, though, Scott.
I disagree they're going to take out the Patriots because outside of Khalil Mack, they don't have a whole lot on defense.
But that has nothing to do with
I'm just responding to that point, though. Yeah. You know, you'll have your say.
No, I'm running this show. So. What?
I'm running. Actually, my speech to him, though. I don't need you to interrupt it and tell me how to operate my speech.
Well, considering you've had your 5 minutes. I'd like to. Speak.
You didn't interrupt him when he said, you know, about they're going to take down the Patriots. So I'm just responding to it. But the final thing is, you're asking me to flip the touchdowns all the way from Crabtree to Cooper, and I just can't do it.
You're not flipping all the way, Mr. Engel. They threw for 29 last year. Why can't they throw for 31 this year? Exactly.
He only had five. I think to double it is a lot to ask.
He's a 23-year-old wide receiver. We've not seen.
I like him to get
his
better.
His ceiling.
I agree with you.
His ceiling is through the roof. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Okay, we have to have another induction.
I look at Amari Cooper.
How you doing, Mr. Sussman?
It's great to be back.
Thank you.
Amari Cooper.
How can I help you?
He's an ascending player.
Yes, he is.
He's what, 23 years old?
23 years old.
Back-to-back years of 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
What was your price?
My price, I want $35 for the young man. $35 for the young man. Listen.
Did you put in an offer? Huh? You spoke for so long, I lost track if you had an offer or not.
I will offer you $30 for him.
So you were putting in an offer, okay.
Yeah.
So after all that, you never even made the offer, which is crazy. All right, you want $35 for him.
Yeah.
You think there's going to be a jump, 5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
I'll give you $35 for
there you go right there. Sold, Mr. Sussman. $35.
My wide receiver's being... I don't even need to do this. Amari Cooper, Terrell Pryor, $35 to $26.
Good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good job right there.
That's a great... I have plenty of money left. I am well within my budget for wide receivers. I believe Amari Cooper is about a $38 player. So getting 35 is right in line with where I want him. I think Amari Cooper, we said it earlier in the program, is around a top 10 wide receiver. I have him at 10. You could have him at 11. Whatever. You could have 14. It's close enough. So for me, to get Amari Cooper for really about 10 bucks less than I would be paying for the other guys, I feel very, very confident, especially pairing him with a guy like Terrell Pryor. Amari Cooper has the ability to make the jump in his third year. Very happy to acquire Amari Cooper at that price.
In the context of the exercise, I didn't believe in the 10 touchdowns. I put in a low offer. You believe in the 10 touchdowns,
I do.
Obviously.
I think it's possible. You know I love Michael Crabtree. But right. Corey's right. I think Derek Carr, they throw the ball so much. And I get it. I'm not as high on Marshawn Lynch as he is, but I think they throw the ball so much. I think Amari Cooper, as Matt said earlier, he has bulked up because he knows his deficiencies. And when a 23-year-old kid knows his deficiencies and is as good and as talented as he is, I think more so than Terrell Pryor, he has the potential to get to 10 touchdowns.
I think 8 this year.
Okay. When we come back, one more guy goes to the tank. That's me. I try to sell these gentlemen on a player when we come back here on the Red Rush for the morning.
This trap music right here. Hey.
We have sold today. Matt Modigabrunt and Pierre Garçon into the tank. Did not make a deal. Mr. Engelbrunt and Terrell Pryor made a deal for $26, I believe.
Yep.
I bought him for $17.
You did not. You lost out on the bid.
I didn't get him.
You did not get him.
He had a deal.
Well, he listened to other offers, and I bought him for $26.
He reneged on a deal?
Uh-oh. No, it wasn't a deal.
I said, Scotty, done. We got a deal.
You said we got a deal. I didn't say that.
You're a weasel now, Scott.
No, you got to be here for the bid.
Scott, $26. I have Terrell Pryor. I also paid $35 for Amari Cooper. And I feel good about these buys. And now I present the final player in today's Shark Tank.
All right, who's it? Who is it? I'm running the show. Go ahead.
Listen, I understand. I understand the perception of older players. The player we present to you, 29 years old. Still in his 20s. He's pretty damn good. The player I'm going to present to you, year after year, he's as consistent as they come. He has had 5 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. In 3 of those 5 seasons, he's had exactly what you 3 fine gentlemen are looking for, which is 10 touchdowns. Last year, he had 5. I believe that in his offense this year, he can get back up to 10. The quarterback's not great. I understand that. I know certain people at, you know, certain sharks here, they don't like him. They are not in on him in 2017. And I'm here to tell you that is a mistake. I am here to tell you that ultimately, this player can get back to where he belongs, inside the red zone, inside the end zone, with regularity. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Sharks, Demaryius Thomas. I am looking for $30 for Demaryius Thomas, the number one wide receiver, a consistent option with the Denver Broncos. $30 is my price. I look forward to your question.
Let me ask you first and foremost, yes. Mr. Sussman. I love the talent. I love the player. What are we going to do with this quarterback situation? Can you tell me who's going to throw these 10 touchdown passes to Demaryius Thomas?
I believe you, sir, were the one that was saying, quote, draft Trevor Siemian. And you love Trevor Siemian.
I like Trevor Simeon's volume.
So
is it going to produce touchdowns?
If you like Trevor Siemian and you like his volume, I think the answer to that question is yes.
Okay.
But Trevor Siemian threw 18 touchdowns last year. I believe that goes up. I mean, if you believe he's a volume quarterback and you believe he's a good quarterback, that number's going to go up from 18.
Those receptions for the wide receivers will go up. His attempts will go up.
He had 18 touchdowns last year. He can't get to 25?
I can see him getting to 25. Here's the thing, though. They have draft capital, the Denver Broncos, and one Paxton Lynch.
Sure.
He's a bum.
Okay.
What if they put him in there? What if they put him in there because they have draft capital spent in him? John Elway is the highest paid general manager in the NFL.
Then you should throw it to your big wide receiver that catches a touchdown. That's Demaryius Thomas.
Well, here's my problem. I do really like the player. Here's my problem. I listen to Fantasy Football Best Friends Forever.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, as was discussed yesterday, you know, what was it, 23 red zone looks 3 years ago. Last 2 years, only 7. So now we're asking a lot here. I think, you know, the receptions will be there, the yardage. I don't know about the double-digit touchdowns. Can I bring you down to 25?
I'm going to hear the other offers, but I am not saying no to that offer, Mr. Modica. Mr. Michael.
I think this is a lot to ask. It's like a Pierre Garçon sort of situation. The last time he caught double-digit touchdowns was Peyton Manning's last productive year when he threw 39 touchdowns in 2014. I point to the quarterback situation. He's only caught 6 and 5 the last 2 years. You're asking him to double what he did last year, and the quarterback situation hasn't improved that much. So I'm out on this.
You're out. I have an offer, $25, Mr. Modica. You have a deal.
Done.
Fantastic. When we come back, we'll go over the top stories. We'll have a little mini auction. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.